I hear politicians talking in this kind of language. Somehow ours is the Christian culture that we've got to preserve. And if we don't, these other nations are going to come in and take it away. If you still think that the United States is a Christian culture, I'd like to talk to you about it afterward. It's anything but. In fact, you go back and read the Founding Fathers, and I know this just destroys a lot of what you find in religious books, but this nation was not founded on the gospel. The men that signed that Declaration of Independence were at best what they called deists. That somehow God created the world, set it in motion. Now he doesn't want to be disturbed. So let's roll up our sleeves and get to work and make it something that's going to be habitable. That's pretty much the sum of it. Every once in a while, God, like a clock, will reach down and kind of wind it up again for us and set it back down. But, you know, the power's in your hands. That's just the same old free will religion that's always been around. That's what this nation's founded upon. And that's what religion is about, you see. And again, I remind you, unlike so many messages that you hear, Canaan is not a picture of heaven. If it were, then Aaron would not be saved. Moses would not be saved. Canaan was a type of Christ. It was a type of rest that is in Christ. And a type of the promised rest to those who rest in him. But you'd have to agree, as with myself in this flesh, so often we don't rest. As much as we know and believe concerning Christ's finished work, how many times we find ourselves struggling and striving with what men think we ought to be doing, and with what we've been brought up with, and our consciences are very much alive. Now, the blood has purged us from dead works. There's no question, the blood of Christ. But in ourselves, we're still like Moses. We don't enter into that rest, our experience, because we're in this flesh and we struggle. We lay awake at night. We think upon things that are so contrary to the gospel. And yet, if our salvation depended upon that, we'd be lost. We'd be lost. Thankfully, it's not.
Here are examples, again, of how God's children live in this world. And the more I read and the more I see what's in the world, but the more I see the evil even of my own heart, I rejoice and thank God for this truth right here, that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That is Christ the righteous one. He's the one that saves. He's the one that keeps. And if in the end I am privileged to be one of those that is seated before him around that throne, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," it'll truly be all the glory belonging unto Christ alone, not to me, to him alone. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. And may we not take lightly what it is to be your child. It's all of grace. From beginning to end. And it's all because of the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We dare not even think to look down our nose at anybody else for who they are and how they live. Because left to ourselves, we would be much the same or even worse. But oh, the privilege of having your Spirit within us, causing us to own our sin and our sinfulness, but at the same time, to honor your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give him all the glory, the one true righteous one who delivers his own. And for that, we give you the praise and honor in our dear Savior's name. Amen.